You may have noticed that last week I was not here. I was not on a holiday, though I would have loved one. Instead, I was at the conference called Living Stones. We met in Arizona. It's been about 20 years they've had this conference. And it's from people all over the U.S. and Canada that come together who are doing church in a different way. I was asked to be one of the delegates from Michigan because I serve on the Commission on Ministry. And so we took two groups. There were nine of us that went. We're there to, what we do is present what's going on with a group and ask questions. So along with us was Barry and Dwight from Messiah, because they're looking at the way they're doing church. They started off as a total ministry church, but could no longer fund it. So although they have 200 people that show up on Sunday, they're from inner city Detroit, and many of them just don't have money for the collection plate. So they were there to present how they had grown and what more further that they, God's calling them to do. I was with a group of Total Ministry who are concerned that with the call of a new bishop, how would they be supported in this diocese? Total Ministry Church in our diocese are those churches who could no longer fund a minister. So people from within the congregation raised up to be the administrators of the church. And also from within that would be called a priest or a deacon or both. And they would do this service without pay. And once they were ordained a priest, they would only serve in that church that they were raised up in. So we have those churches. We have six total ministry churches in this diocese. So part of it was looking at the way God calls people. It was a very interesting process. So we were paired with two other groups, one from Iowa and one with the St. Francis Brothers. And what they do is you present what you have 20 minutes to talk about what you're about or what your concerns are. Then you have 10 minutes that the people ask questions about what you presented. You also have a written report they get ahead of time. And then we had to be quiet for 2 hours where they talked about us and what they thought about what we were doing or things that we could move forward. But we weren't allowed to respond. Let me tell you, that was the longest 2 hours. And then the two other groups would present and we would do the same. They couldn't talk to us, but they talked about us. And we talked about them, which is an interesting place to be. But one of the things that we looked at, and not just for this, the groups we were with or paired up with, but were the other churches of how is God doing church these days? How is Christ calling us to serve? And I wanted to share with you the group that were from Iowa. And who attends are the bishops attend, priests attend, lay people attend. People come together and nobody identifies their role. We're all part of the ministry of the baptized. So Iowa is doing a few unique things. One is called Breaking Bread. It's a ministry of the Episcopal Diocese of Iowa celebrating the Eucharist in public spaces, such as bars and restaurants. It's rooted in a theology of the baptismal ministry that all who come have gifts to share. They follow the Book of Common Prayer, and they break bread together, and they believe that they travel lightly and with a few necessities, and what they need will be present when the people gather. This is not a ministry to plant a new church. This is a separate ministry to take the word out to the people. The second ministry that they shared was the Way Station. It's a downtown storefront and includes a cafe, an art studio, which offers regular classes and workshops. Plus, they rent out space to accommodate group and parties. They have a lending library and a used bookstore. They offer two Sunday afternoon services, one with a conversational prayer book Eucharist, and then a second, which is a come-and-see service, with liturgy adapted from St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church in Tucson. Both services, all are invited to read the lessons, and they have group discussions during the homily. They also provide snacks and fellowship after the second service, and pastoral counseling, healing prayers, and an after-school program for middle schoolers are also provided. Again, another way to do church. The third group that they have is Wild Church, which it's called Wild Church Meets Montessori Formation. This is a gathering with a focus on stewardship of creation, with special attention to involving children in worship and arts as a response. The worship is outdoors. Imagine Iowa outdoors in the winter. There's a family weekly family forest school for parents and young children. And they talk about it's preparing them for church, for catechism. And that also has an outdoor and arts focus. In addition to these three kind of way stations or way of doing church, they also have a beloved community initiative for racial justice, healing, and reconciliation. They're trying to grow people as a community of reconcilers, justice makers, and healers. This is just one state's example. We ourselves do church in many different ways. We have Four Churches Total Ministry. We have many churches in our diocese that can only afford to pay for a supply priest once a week. We have others that are looking to half-time priests. Some are full-time. But God's still working with us. Within all of this, God's calling everyone. You see, when God went up to Peter, Peter had already been fishing. He said, you know, we worked all night and we got nothing. But when Jesus called and said, do it again, they listened and they put the nets in and they got so much fish. So many fish that they were overwhelmed. They had to ask for help. Come, friends, help us. And the boat almost sank. You see, it's all possible. When we say our vows, we say, when God calls us, I will with God's help. We think we're alone trying to build a church or raise a church or sustain a church. We forget that phrase, I will with God's help. We cannot do church alone. We cannot take God out into the world to be the light of Christ without taking God with us with God's help. Sometimes we feel alone and abandoned, but you're not. It may be that in the future we're called to do church alone in a different way entirely, but you're not alone. You're with God's help. And many of you may be called to find a new way. You had Teresa last week. At her ordination, she knew that she was called by God to be a priest, but not to serve a regular church, but to do ministry, to be a priest at Crossroads, to start a church there. That was her call. That was God calling her. God calls each and every one of us. And think about ways God has called you in the past. Maybe through the places you work, your friends, your neighbors. Perhaps someone is sick and you took food. Perhaps you were at the street corner with the homeless person and you pulled a dollar out of your pocket and gave it to him on the street corner. When we ask for gifts for Christmas, you took those notes and you pulled them and you filled people's hearts with your gifts. Because God again calls us in each and everyone's own way. Sometimes we have to be still to listen. Sometimes we say, oh no, not more, God. I can't do any more. But you can with God's help. And Jesus stood there with them when he called them, and they followed him. They were fishermen. They weren't the pharaohs and those that had high places. God calls each one of us, knowing we have special gifts, giving it what we need to be able to fulfill what God wanting us to do, whether it be a community, whether it be a diocese, whether it be individual. God's calling us. And it's not necessarily to do church inside church, but to take church outside into the world. So listen carefully. And when God calls you or taps you on the shoulder with a new idea, say, I can do it. I will do it with God's help. Amen.